This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Friday, November the 1st of 2024, 4 days away from Election Day. The time is 9:06, beautiful start here in North Central Wisconsin as I take a peek to my right, looking out onto the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street at our studios. Plenty of sunshine, temperature now at 34 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, and it is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And to start off here, hour number two, very happy to welcome to the program Rear Admiral Michael Smith, a retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral. Mike had founded and led the American College of National Security Leaders, a national security think tank that provided a nonpartisan voice to increasingly polarized national security discussions. Also founded and led National Security Leaders for Biden, an independent nonpartisan advocacy organization that included over 1,100 former senior national security Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And Admiral Smith, first of all, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Well, thanks, Chad. Thanks for inviting me here.
Absolutely. And when I was looking at your background, the one thing that kind of jumped out was that founding and leadership of the American College of National Security Leaders and the idea of a think tank and looking at these very important issues in a nonpartisan way. Obviously, you come into your viewpoint in this discussion of the potential choices in this election, looking at it from that point of view, correct? Could you talk a little bit about the founding and what that organization accomplished, and maybe piggybacking in terms of the discussion that we have right now leading up to an election?
Yes. So basically, after Trump was elected, we all decided that we needed to come together, a bunch of retired admirals and generals and career foreign service ambassadors, and create a nonpartisan think tank that would address national security issues, based on our oaths to the Constitution. And, while Trump was in office, there was plenty of issues that we had with how he approached national security, from the way he handled North Korea, from his erratic behavior at one point, discussing sending nuclear weapons and attacking North Korea, to suddenly becoming best friends. And so we came together and we ended up, opposing many of his issues, or at least trying to explain to the American people what the tradition of our country has been, such, for example, obviously on NATO. And then we all came together, as you said, for National Security Leaders for Biden in 2020. But after January 6th, we realized even that wasn't going to go away. So we established ourselves as National Security Leaders for America. And now we have over 1,000 members. And it's really all about bringing the message of the need for national security and stability, and embracing what America is all about, to the voters.
How a president and how the people around a president come to decisions when it comes to national security is such an important part of the job. And having the people around that have the knowledge, and then a president that's willing to listen and provide the leadership as well. And you actually, this election, it is a case where we have quite a record. We have the record of Donald Trump in his 4 years. And of course, Kamala Harris, as one of the major forces behind the current administration, obviously has that experience as being second in command in the White House under President Biden. As you've looked at the 4 years from 2017 to 2021, and now from 2021 up to this point in 2024, have there been any patterns that you've been able to see from both administrations and candidates that people should be thinking about as they go to the polls?
Absolutely. And people need to see the difference between the administration that Trump oversaw and what is going on in the last 4 years from the perspective of Kamala Harris and the administration now have reestablished the United States as a leader with among our allies and in trying to instill global stability and security. Donald Trump's term in office was about chaos, inconsistency. There was no understanding of what foreign policy is all about. Everything in Donald Trump's world was transactional. So, you know, the two biggest examples are NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization's the most powerful alliance in the world. It has kept America safe and kept us out of a major war since the end of World War II. And, you know, it has opposed first the Soviet Union and then Russia, and successfully. In Donald Trump's term, he was trying to get rid of NATO. He was, after he was, his time in office, he actually made a comment publicly telling Putin he could do whatever he wants with people, with the countries that don't happen to be paying what he thinks they should in their defense. I mean, it's everything is transactional to him. And then you take a look at China, which clearly, now that they're the number two economy in the world, they're creating a large military. Well, we rely on our allies. We don't want to go it alone. The policy of the current administration of Kamala Harris' term has been to do it with our allies. So where Donald Trump was trying to berate South Korea and Japan, Kamala Harris has made 20 international trips, knows these leaders by their first name, has embraced the alliance. Not only that, because of the challenge that China presents in the Pacific, she created an alliance between the United States, Australia, and the UK to bring to Australia the ability to have very advanced nuclear submarines. So they have this, I would call it, it's not even new, it's the traditional way that America has always approached foreign policy, with our allies, with a strategic plan. And in Donald Trump's term, he didn't care about allies. It was America all by ourselves. And there was absolutely no strategy behind his policy tweets that he would put out.
Again, we're talking to retired Rear Admiral Michael Smith here on 98.9 WXCO. And even beyond that, one thing that kind of stood out when it came to the Western alliance and Donald Trump was not just that, there was a disdain, to be honest with you. And like you said, it's been an incredible partnership since the end of World War II, the Western Alliance, and the idea of having allies and having a group that's able to come together on very important issues. We've never seen the disdain for the alliance that we saw during the Trump administration, and we still sense, even as he runs today, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I was a Republican. You know, I voted for Ronald Reagan. I embraced his vision of, you know, that the United States is a city on the hill, mm-hmm. that it's what everyone wants to aspire to. That if Ronald Reagan were alive and see how Donald Trump has approached a superpower like Russia invading a free and sovereign nation like the Ukraine, and he would just be disgusted. This is not what the Republican Party was all about. This is not what America's all about. And the fact that in his debate, he could not pledge to prioritize the freedom of Ukraine over the interests of Russia is just criminal. It has to disqualify him to even be the commander-in-chief again.
And his running mate, J.D. Vance, has said, I don't care about Ukraine. He said it. So, I mean, the message is clear that should they return into power, that the policy towards Ukraine would be very much different.
Absolutely. They're just going to reintroduce chaos, instability, and they're going to threaten America's national security, which fundamentally, national security is about establishing the conditions that allow for our American families to have financial security, you know, and they're going to undermine that without a doubt.
Also, having the team around you, and we've heard so many folks that are involved in the national security apparatus that were around Donald Trump for those 4 years say basically he's not capable of doing the job. Having the ability to have good people around you and listen to those good people is vitally important within national security, isn't it?
It's absolutely vital, and that's probably one of the biggest concerns I have that keeps me up at night is, while Donald Trump, we all knew, did not have the foreign policy expertise when he took on the job, he brought in, as he even said, I picked the best people. He brought in a group of leaders to advise him and to help shepherd his administration. But they all got in there and they realized that this man is dangerous. All of them now, to almost a person, two different secretaries of defense, national security advisors, these key people who advised them and were there are warning the American people, don't reelect this man. That because they've been there, they've been in the Oval Office, they've heard him talk about, should we bomb Mexico? They've heard him talk about his disdain for NATO and how much he loves, dictators like Putin. They know he is a national security threat, every one of them in senior positions. And the only people advocating for Donald Trump are these sycophants, these lower level people who now see they'll be in positions of power. So if he's reelected, so those safeguards that were there are just, they're going to be gone. We can't do this. Everyone that worked for him is warning the American people, don't reelect this man.
We are coming up on our 250th birthday as a country on July the 4th of 2026. And obviously, you've given your life in service of this country. So obviously, as we wrap up our discussion with about 30 seconds to go, this vote, as we head towards that important, I think, anniversary, is very important to look not just domestically, but look at these national security issues, right?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, you have to have a commander in chief who respects the power of the military, which I know he understands, but you have to respect the individuals that are going to be implementing that and out there serving you, and you have to care about them. And I don't understand how any veteran or any military family member that is in Wisconsin could vote for a man who considers all of us to be suckers and losers and has no appreciation for service.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Again, that's our new address for the website. If you go to BullFallsRadio.com, it'll still direct you there, but time to get used to the new way of doing things. So WXCO,
WXCO.fm to join us there. Oh, and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, thanks to retired Rear Admiral Michael Smith for discussing the national security issues that we have to think about before heading to the polls on Tuesday. But let's step away. We have talked so much about elections and politics. It's time to get ready for the weekend, get ready to enjoy, maybe get away from it for a few moments before going out and voting on Tuesday. So let's talk some sports as we get to the weekend. Joined again by Paul Miklik and
Chad, time to get to make believe. this is Mr. Rogers when he goes to
the land of make believe.
We
get on the trolley.
The trolley.
We're heading to the land of make believe.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Right. But it's good to have you on board. It's. By the way, where are we going tonight? Are we going to Owen?
Yeah, let's go with the Owen.
Okay, because you said you're going to the game, but I never asked you where we're going. Because you sent me a note, hey, want to go to the game? Yeah, absolutely. And then I thought, well, I'm assuming we're going to Owen Withy for that playoff game, but I want to make it sure. So it'll be nice football weather. Bundle up tonight and get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not really that nice when it's... when you're in the stands and it's cold.
I know, that's the thing about it, because whether I'm announcing, because I'm in the booth, which is always nice, even if I'm outside, you're doing the game. You got the blood flowing. When you're just watching the game, it gets cold. You're not moving around.
It gets cold.
When you're on the sideline, you're moving around. You're right. So you'd much rather be coaching than watching. But hey, the way it goes. Congrats on a good year. Really good year.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was going to say thanks for... rubbing it in that we don't have a game tonight.
Well, I don't have a game either. So,
yeah, yeah, you know, yes.
I actually have to pay to get in for once. You know, that hurts.
It hurts. It does hurt when you got to pay to get in. But no, it was you did a great job this season, as always, and with West and Newman and Marathon and. So we appreciate everything you guys do for the community.
By the way, got to ask Ian, why do we do the games, Ian? What are we again?
We are very proud to be the only local radio station in Wausau that still covers high school sports.
Yeah, those guys down the street, they said, we don't want to do it anymore. We don't care. Boo! Boo!
Boo!
Boo! It's like Jerry Seinfeld when he went to the he said the dream of every stand up, because he had the hecklers to go to their their workplace, and he went to that woman's workplace.
Yes,
boo! 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 Boo!
Literally, Seinfeld is life.
It is,
and that's what's so great about that show.
I know. So we all live it. So, but let's talk. Let's start. I want to change, because last week you asked me where I thought the Bucks were going to finish.
Yep, and you said
like third.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I want to change my.
No, you can't. You can't
change my prediction. But holy cow! I mean, the thing was, yeah, they played Boston, but those other three teams, they're supposed to beat those other three teams, and they're not just losing. They're losing bad. I mean,
I haven't seen too much of it because they're not good.
I got home last night. I turned it on. It's halftime. They're 22 down. I said, I'm going to watch something else.
It was, I think, fourth quarter when I got home, and I walked in. It was on, and it was, it was 20-something. It was 20-something, and I just – sent out a text, and they said I just said something like, man, these guys stink. And
yes,
the person back said, I was waiting for that about an hour ago. I go I just walked through the door because that they're struggling.
Yeah, I mean, other than Giannis, Giannis had a good night, but nobody, I mean, literally nobody else did anything. I mean, Giannis had like 35 and 12, and it did hit 70% of his shots. And yesterday, and I mentioned this on the show, CBSSports.com, they're starting. Oh, if the Bucks don't start turning around, Giannis could be on the block. But the thing about it is, with this roster, maybe they have to think about it. Because if they can't...
No, that's foolish talk.
But I mean, at some
you can't. What are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, you have to
because you're stuck with the coach. You're paying so many coaches right now. It's not even funny.
I know. And, that's
I mean, so what are you going to do? Because if you're going to trade him, you're not going to keep Doc Rivers.
You're right, because Doc a few years ago left one of his jobs because he didn't want to get younger. You're right. I don't know. I mean
but what are they going to do with their line?
But what are we going to do here? I mean,
not wash the Bucks.
I mean, is there any hope that I don't see it right now. I said even before the season.
Wow, just to think a week ago you said they were third.
I took too much of that. But before the season started, I said this to you. I think there's a better chance that they are not a contender than they are for a and cuz right now it's all championship. That's all they talk about, championship. This is not a championship team, is it?
No, not right now is not.
So, I mean, what do you do?
I don't think adding Chris Middleton's going to suddenly jump them up into a different category.
And I tell you, I got to say, Adrian Griffin, I keep on taking those paychecks because what were they, like 31-12 or something when they fired him? And Doc is now 20-27? I mean, that's – holy cow. I mean, he is not the answer. I mean
– well – you jump off the bandwagon quicker.
Yeah, my ankles are breaking. But it's been bad. I mean, there's been nothing that you can put your arms around other than Giannis.
Last year, I think, was they faced a tougher schedule in the second half. So I take away, I'm looking at it right now.
Well, right
I'm looking
now,
at right
they're
1-4,
and then they got the undefeated Cavaliers in the next two games. And they have Boston again coming up. They got the Knicks coming up. They could be like 1-12.
If they're 1-12, there's going to be a lot of changes. I'll tell you that. I guarantee you that. That's the one guarantee. If they're 1-12, they might all be gone.
I'm almost the Mick League level. It's done. It's over.
Yeah. But the difference is I don't jump back on. You jumped back
of
on last
I
week.
Did. Well, I guess I'm too You're much of a flopper. Fan. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app with Paul Bickley talking Wisconsin sports. And now you're pointing at me because I said something that got your attention when we were off the air.
Yep.
I said that Giannis could make the move that says, I want out. I want to be traded to a team that's competing for NBA championships. If this goes sideways, I think it's going to happen within by the end of next season. I think this because if they don't turn this around, he will not be a Buck opening night next year, in my opinion. And I said, I bet you that's what happened. You said he won't do that. I think he will do that. I don't think he's this Mother Teresa type that is going to sit around if they're 44-38 and the number 7 seed in the East, and he sees all these old guys around him where there's no hope of them turning around anytime soon. I mean, how are they going to turn it around if this group doesn't?
He's
do it?
Part of. I mean, you can't say that he wouldn't be part of the problem. I don't care how good he is. Like, I don't think he's that type of guy. I don't think he's going to say, well, it's not my fault.
I think when we're sitting here a year from now that he'll be wearing another jersey. That's my prediction.
I would do anything right now to go down to Milwaukee and go, guys, can you just do one thing for me? Win the championship.
So,
well, and then so check, because this would be the all time. This would be an all time bust for you.
So the first Friday of November next year, we'll, I'm sure you'll remember.
I will.
So mark your brain there. First Friday of November of 2025, and we'll recap what we say here, and we'll see whether or not you're right or whether I'm right. I hope I'm wrong. This is a Mick League statement, you know, where either way I'll be okay, but you'll make it not okay if I'm wrong.
Oh, I will, because this is way out there.
All right. Let's move on.
This is some better news. The Badger football.
They. The thing about last week, I think on this show I said they were going to win, right?
Yep.
And then on Sully's show, I said I changed my mind. I said they're going to lose. So I went. You talk about flip flopper.
Yes.
I was a flip flopper last week because Friday morning I was optimistic. It was only Saturday morning and saying, I don't think they're going to win. So I was wrong and I was right. But I got to say I'm wrong, because you can't be wrong and right. I will be a man about this, and say I was.
For the Bucks, you went from last week saying third to this week saying Giannis is not going. It's over. The Packers or the Badgers, you flip flopped on that day
within 24 hours. But I got,
and you also said the Packers were going to lose.
You're right. They should have lost, but that's a whole different thing. But let's talk about the Badgers first, okay? You picked the Badgers too, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Was that more of this of an optimistic hope?
Yeah, you got me going. Got me excited. I was like, yeah, maybe they are.
And now, I don't think they're winning tomorrow. I don't think they're winning against
Oregon. And this is what I told you last week.
Yes, you did. I don't think they're going to Lincoln and beating Nebraska. So they'll be 5-6 going into the Axe game.
And you remember last week you told me, no, that's not happening.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
I don't think I said that. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Yes.
I don't remember saying that. Did I say that, Ian?
He said that, Ian.
I did not.
I don't think you did.
No, Ian. No, that's a good employee. That's a loyal guy.
That's like your staff saying, no, you didn't say that.
Yes.
That's like,
you don't know. But I said that was a legit possibility was going to happen.
I remember that, but I don't remember saying it's not going to happen.
Because you said they were going to beat Iowa.
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, you said Iowa's not good. They lost to Michigan State.
Yes, I remember saying that. But I don't think I said they're going to beat Iowa.
But now you changed it, didn't you, in a hurry?
I don't think I said that, but I don't think they're winning tomorrow night.
I just think anybody that has a defense that is functional is going to get in trouble. I mean, right?
I think you're right. I mean, it's... And the thing about it, I lost my train because I got a voicemail here. And I'm always worried that I'm missing something important. What was I going to say? I was looking at the standings of the Big Ten, and the teams the Badgers beat are the 15th place team, the 16th place team, and the 18th place team. Those three games they won in the Big Ten Conference. So people are all excited. Sully put them back in the top 25 last week, and I'm thinking, yeah, you won the games, which is good, but these are not the cream of the crop of the Big Ten Conference.
The reason that I would say that I was kind of optimistic was because I thought they looked good.
They did, and the defense especially.
The defense looked good. They were moving the ball. The quarterback was playing well. They were running the ball.
The running game was probably the biggest, I think, because all of a sudden it felt like, maybe they did find a little bit of an identity that we were talking about early in the season.
Correct. So that's why I think
the
feel-good was there. It wasn't just because they won the games.
Tomorrow,
I think it was.
And tomorrow will be an interesting game because I think Iowa has a lot of the same kind of issues. I mean, they have been a little inconsistent. They've had moments where they've been pretty good, and then other times they've looked not so good. I mean, 2 weeks ago against Michigan State, they did not look good. Last week in the second half, they played much better against Northwestern. Now they got their backup quarterback, who obviously played very well after McNamara went down last week. But
who's actually probably better?
Probably, because McNamara was not doing much. So, but again, I think that Iowa has some of the same kind of issues when as Wisconsin does. I think better defensively than offensively. The Badgers have to find a way, though. Remember last year's game? I mean, they did nothing offensively, and that's the concern for tomorrow night.
And this is not the good news being against that, anybody else.
The good news, by the way, is the Iowa punter's gone. So, because he was the player of the game last year, remember that?
Yes,
he was the player of the game,
and they had one run. So that leads me to what I was going to ask you.
Oh,
and this is
don't
not
ask me anything. Just talk.
No. But like, how often? Because I was thinking about this the other day, and I got to hear him talk quite a bit down in Iowa. And
Ferentz,
sharp, just tremendous. And I know I've told you that before.
Right.
Going into this game, I think that Wisconsin would have to have more talent in this game. Like in the past, you would go down there, like, okay, we can beat these guys. Because right. I have not as much confidence, or maybe I should say this without being, I have more confidence in the Iowa coaching staff at this moment to win the game.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't know. I mean, I think you can definitely argue that. I think that there's...
I'm going to argue it because it happened last year at Wisconsin. True. There is no business that they should have came in there and won.
I think the idea that the defensive coordinator for Iowa is at the top of his game. I think that Tressel's the coach, DC for Wisconsin. He's done a nice job. I think that the offensive coordinators are sort of both still trying to find their ways.
I know you, and I know how you go. You're mad at Iowa because there's nepotism. Okay, right or not? So you're not a big fan of him. I know you're not.
I don't mind him that much, but no, that is a big red flag for me.
Yes. But this is the reality: he's not there anymore.
Right.
And we actually were probably better off when he was there because of nepotism.
Yeah.
That offense was terrible.
It was terrible. It was awful.
And they lost to him last year at Wisconsin.
And they won by more than a touchdown.
With more talent.
Exactly. So, no, I think you made a good point there.
That's the only thing I'm trying to say. Right. I just...
I do think it'll be an interesting game, though, tomorrow. I think it's going to be an old-fashioned Big Ten kind of game. I think that... whoever makes the fewest mistakes is going to be in a good spot. And the Badgers have to make some plays. I mean, they just have to make some plays offensively. That's the bottom line. And unfortunately, again, I mean, Locke shows some sparks, but against a really good defense, I don't know if he's got that capability of making the pass plays that they're going to need in order to finish off, even if they're able to run the ball pretty well.
I just don't see Wisconsin receivers right now getting, and you can't tell me they can't. They're not getting separation. I don't know what the pass routes. We're not there.
Right.
But what I do see is he has to make a perfect throw.
Yeah, you're right.
And they got to make a perfect catch.
And that's hard to do.
And that is hard to do.
Yes.
And so something's lacking there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Pack because they have a huge game coming up on Sunday. And that would be very interesting because it looks like talking to our meteorologists earlier. I mean, weather could be a factor. Detroit obviously plays indoors. I mean, their offense has been fantastic so far this season. But the Packers and Detroit, and for the Packers, a really big game because you don't want, and of course they're all big games, but you don't want to lose another home game within the division. I mean, this is a significant game. If they want, like you've talked about, you don't want to just sneak in. You want to win that division and be better. But this is, I mean, for the Packers to win the division, this one will be one to on a check mark against.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that since they played Minnesota.
Yes, and, you did. And you I said that was too early, but obviously we're a little later now.
The big game is the next game.
Yeah, because then they have the Bears after this. So, I mean, you're exactly
everyone
right.
is
you're
the right. big game.
You're right.
And
you don't have that much room to, because obviously Detroit's showing the ability to maybe be a 13-win team this year. I mean, you're going to have to win
a lot more.
You're going to have to win a lot of games in order to win that division.
And I guess, I mean, I would still take a wild card spot in there if you're, you know, 12 and whatever. Right. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
But it would be nice. I mean, they're banged up.
That's it. I mean, this is going to be a tough one. I mean, we don't know whether or not Love is going to play. And if he does play, if he's at anywhere close to 100%. But it's not just Love as well. I mean, you're right.
Can I ask you something? Because I was just thinking about this.
Okay. What?
It's supposed to rain on Sunday, right?
It is supposed to rain on Sunday.
Are you telling me that Detroit Lions have never seen rain before?
No, but I mean, at the same time, it is a factor where they are a team that plays indoors. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings changed. If I'm old enough to remember when they played outdoors, and they were a team that was known for being great in the cold. Bud Grant said he wouldn't allow his team to wear gloves. I mean, it was a mental thing as well.
That's a little different.
But no, I mean,
this is rain. And I will say, what shocked me, which I thought was pretty cool, I think they purposely practiced outside the Packers 2 days ago when it was raining for the fact they knew the forecast coming up was rain. Because otherwise, there's no way that they'd be practicing.
It'd be curious to know if Detroit did the same thing, if they had rain.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. So Detroit might have done the exact same thing. So there is absolutely no difference in this situation. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I understand what you're getting at, but I still disagree with it. I do think it's a factor for a dome team to play outdoors. And
you know why I think it's a factor?
Why?
It's because I always say that weather is the great equalizer.
Yeah, and an offense like Detroit that for a number of weeks had more touchdowns than incomplete passes, anything that changes that is a good thing.
A slip, the ball gets loose on a play, you pick it up in return for a touchdown. Things like that, it'll slow it down. It'll slow them down defensively with footing and things like that. That's why I would say it's a great equalizer. It could reverse that. I'm not going to buy that, you know, they've never seen rain before.
Nobody said they never saw rain before. So let's not go down that road.
How many games did the Packers play in rain this year so far?
I don't recall.
And when it rains, do they usually go inside to practice?
I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, I did not know that.
Well, generally the game they played in Brazil, there was a snow. Does that count?
No, there wasn't snow in Brazil. There wasn't snow in Brazil.
You sure? I think there was a little precipitation.
Maybe precipitation, but...
It snows in Brazil?
Well, not in September, I don't think.
Oh, that's true. That does sound unrealistic.
Are they going to win on Sunday? Or is it over already?
The thing is, though, that's kind of a loaded question. They got a lot of guys out in the injury reserve right now.
Right.
I mean, a lot. I mean, not injury reserve, but...
It would be a great win if they do win.
But I'll tell you this right now. If it rains, I'm going to say this. If it rains, mark it down, Green Bay, win.
Okay, it's going to rain. That's what I've been told. So,
what do you think? Come on, you got to say it.
No, I think Detroit's going to win. Even with the rain, after all I said.
Oh, after all you said.
Honestly, I think the Packers are going to win.
Well, there you guys. So we'll see.
You're going to pull out an upset.
Well,
hey, Ian, I want to make sure you get that question right tonight. Okay? You didn't listen to me. I felt a little hurt that you didn't listen to me.
Last time. I'm going to listen to you this time.
We're going to be right back. Our daily history lesson. We'll find out if Ian gets it right. Number for the day quiz on WXEO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is the first day of November of 2024, day number 306 of this year. There are 60 days remaining in 2024, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. In the year 1800, President John Adams became the first president of the United States to live in the Executive Mansion, later named the White House. On this date in 1870, in the United States, the Weather Bureau, later renamed the National Weather Service, made its first official meteorological forecast. On this date in 1913, the Forward Pass gained national prominence in Notre Dame's startling upset of Army 35-13, just a few years before the Forward Pass had been authorized by the Rules Committee of what would become the NCAA. On this date in 1990, McDonald's announced replacing styrofoam burger boxes with paper containers. On this date in 2012, scientists detected evidence of light from the universe's first stars, predicted to have formed 500 million years after the Big Bang. On this date in 2021, 3 years ago, the global death toll from COVID-19 passed 5 million, according to Johns Hopkins. And 1 year ago today, on this date in 2023, Bob Knight, whose Hall of Fame career was highlighted by 3 national titles at Indiana University, won, capping an undefeated season not since matched, and countless on-court outbursts, he died at the age of 83. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Apple CEO Tim Cook turned 64. Actor Toni Collette of Little Miss Sunshine is 52. Jenny McCarthy turns 52. Matt Jones of Breaking Bad is 41. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl, Margin Call, and You is 38. And Kaylee Bryant of Kickin' It and Legacies is 27 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. It is the first day of November, so November is American Diabetes Awareness Month. It is Aviation Month, National Adoption Month, National Alzheimer's Awareness Month, Vegan Month, National Fun with Fondue Month, National Peanut Butter Lovers Month, National Pepper Month, National Stuffing Month, and National Raisin Bread Month. It is also All Saints Day. It is Fountain Pen Day. It is Scented Candle Day. It is Love Your Lawyer Day. You hear that, Donald Trump? It is Authors Day. It is Cinnamon Day. It is Family Literacy Day. It is Prime Meridian Day. And it is World Vegan Day. All righty, it is time for our number for the day quiz. And every day we give Ian Welsh 3 choices with our number for the day quiz. Based on the math, he should get 1 out of 3 right just by guessing. So 33% is sort of the prime meridian when it comes to the number for the day quiz. If he's above 33%, it's a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it's a failing grade. His all-time best week is 4 out of 5. We call it a winning week when you get more right than wrong. And unfortunately, you can't do that this week.
No.
But you can still get a passing grade. But it's all on the line today.
Yes, it is.
All right. Do you remember the topic?
Toilet paper.
Yep, it is toilet paper.
Classy way to end the week.
I tell you, we are nothing but class around here, I tell you. All right. Our number for the day. The number of rolls of toilet paper the average person will use in their lifetime.
Oh, boy.
This is not an easy one. Number of rolls of toilet paper the average person will use in their lifetime.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 2,840? Mm-hmm. Is the correct answer 3,840? Is the correct answer 4,840?
Well, average person in a lifetime, 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000?
840.
Now, this is a lot, but... Well, that's a lot to think about, but... Yeah.
The pressure is on. Can you get it right? Can you get the one you need? Can you pull it out of the fire to get a passing week?
A best estimated guess here, I'm going to say, I'm going to say C. I'm going to go with the biggest number. Just, it's a reasonable estimate, so I'm going to stick with that's my final answer.
So basically, over the last 2 weeks, you've been using the middle number as your kind of go-to.
Yeah, that's kind of been.
And this time around, you go with the big number.
I go with the big number when it comes to toilet paper. I mean, you never know.
The big number for toilet paper. The correct answer for the number of rolls of toilet paper the average person will use in their lifetime is The middle number, 3,840. Well,
there you go.
You didn't go with the middle number today. You didn't go with mom's choice. You went with the big number. So,
my mom told me that it's better if I think on my own terms instead of always going for the middle number.
Well,
so I tried that this week, but it didn't work out in my favor.
We will bounce back next week, right?
Yep.
Maybe this is the spark you need to get that perfect week.
It could be.
That would be good. Well, enjoy the weekend.
You too, Chad. Happy Friday, everybody. And have a good weekend.
Ian and I will be back tomorrow with Sully, but we'll be back for this show Monday morning, 8 till 10 a.m. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.